coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations with Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. When hard times come, we look for a way out. Today, Pastor Gregory Seltz tells how God provides a way through hard times.
The world offers temporary solutions for eternal problems, and that heaps tragedy upon tragedy. Is there a better way? One that works forever? Yes, the life of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today, Jesus invites you to put your trust in Him in all things. Today, you can take heart because you have real help in your Savior, Jesus Christ.
Stay with us for Pastor Seltz's message. Today's sermon is based on the Gospel reading for All Saints Day from Matthew chapter 5. Now here's our speaker, Pastor Gregory Seltz.
And Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and faith in Him is power to live blessed lives even in hard times. Amen. It was just before Christmas last year when a man I'll call John lost his job. That's a terrible time to be laid off, wouldn't you agree? You may have experienced the same kind of heartbreak. It's an empty feeling to be told that you're no longer needed where you work, where you've served faithfully for perhaps a number of years, the place you've poured your life into. Who can describe the pit in your stomach when you're let go? But to go home and to have to tell your family this bad news just before Christmas, what could be worse? When Monday came after John's layoff, things did get worse. John's daughter was involved in an accident, rolling her truck and sustaining serious head injuries. She was rushed to the hospital in a coma. Christmas came and went as the family hoped and prayed for their daughter's well-being. She was hanging on and showing signs of life, but the outcome was unknown. What could be worse than seeing your own child teeter between life and death? While they were keeping vigil at their daughter's bedside, they lost everything in a fire. It took their breath away. Life was crumbling around them. The community responded immediately by rallying around the family to provide a place to live after their hospital ordeal was over. But then the final blow hit John and his wife. Their precious daughter lost her fight against her injuries. A week after the accident, she died. Let's be honest. Sometimes life brings challenges, tragedy, and grief that are at times too much to bear. And this was a time like that. Sometimes the brokenness of this world, the pressure, the loss will literally make your knees buckle, your heart break, and your spirit crumble. How can anyone handle times like these? Hard times. How can you and I handle such hard times? Are you going through hard times right now? Is financial pressure making you dizzy? Is loneliness sending you into despair? Is grief taking your heart captive? Are you struggling because life seems so hard? Hard times, heartbreaking times, scary times can lead you to ask God some serious questions. Where are you, Lord? What happened to your love? Have you forgotten about me? Why aren't you showing mercy to my loved ones? Why is this happening? Let me be very clear about something. It's okay to ask those questions. The Bible speaks clearly on this. It's okay to wrestle with God. In fact, God wants you to come to Him with your deepest struggles. Remember the man named Jacob in the Old Testament? He wrestled with God as he faced his greatest fears and the possible loss of his own life and the life of his family. The Bible pulls no punches as it tells the account of this desperate man hanging on to God and not letting go until he could receive God's blessing. Another person in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, begged God to relieve him of what he called a thorn in the flesh, a condition that tormented him relentlessly and drained hope from him. But the hope of the Bible isn't rooted in commiserating about the fact that we all might face hard times. No, God wants you to have a way to handle hard times, to deal with hard times, even to overcome them. Psalm 34 speaks true and comforting words. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. It's about faith in the God who loves you, about confidence in the one who holds you in his arms now and guarantees your eternal future. The Bible says, put your hope in the one who reveals himself as your Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the preacher of the Sermon on the Mount text that I just read, reminds us that God is not your enemy. Sin and death are. He is not your tormentor. The broken world and even our own flesh is. So God is not bothered when you ask him for help. He's not too busy. He is your Savior. He is present to hear you and to help you. Trouble may not disappear, but your Savior lives, and he will see you through to eternal life even with him. We need strength to deal with hard times. But here's where our world leads us astray. The world will tell you to handle hard times with your toughness and self-made strength. Sometimes it's true that might help for a time, but how long can it last? Then some will say, adjust your attitude, think positive thoughts. That too can work for a while, but can it endure through unspeakable pain? Or here's a very common way of dealing with overwhelming hard times. The world says to seek diversions when you're down, to escape hard times by losing yourself in alcohol or drugs. The world tells you to numb your feelings of despair by lashing out at others or by seeking temporary satisfaction in the desires of your flesh. But what do you do when you come back to reality? For hard times, the world offers temporary solutions for eternal problems, and that heaps tragedy upon tragedy. Is there a better way? One that works forever? Yes, the life of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today, Jesus invites you to put your trust in him in all things. Today, you can take heart because you have real help in your Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was a man who understood suffering and pain. To say that his life was not easy would be an understatement. But in facing hard times, even facing death itself, he could declare, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" So many ask, "Can Jesus really help me?" Well, if you really want an answer to that, the Bible invites you to look to the cross and remember what Jesus did. He carried the weight of your sin and mine. He faced the depth of all of our pain on the cross of Calvary. And then the one who carried the eternal consequences of our sin and pain, he rose again. That's right, Jesus conquered death. Is there anything too much for Jesus who walks with you? That's why Paul continued in Romans chapter 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." What an offer in Jesus. Even when you are laid low through the worst of times, you are more than a conqueror in him. This is what you can trust and believe when life seems to be crumbling. No matter what you are facing in your life right now, trusting in Christ, his eternal life, will always be the last word for you in him. In Christ, there will always be a way through. Well, how does that work? Well, it reminds me of a scene from a movie based on a John Grisham novel. It's called The Firm. Young attorney Mitch McDear became inadvertently connected with a law firm that was breaking the law by aligning itself with organized crime. Mitch found himself trapped. Either he would have to become a criminal with the members of his firm, or he would lose his law license and possibly his life by betraying his clients. He couldn't fix the problem. He was stuck between a rock and a hard place. But in a conversation with a client about the bar exam, Mitch McDear was given an idea. There was a way he could maintain attorney-client privilege and not divulge confidential information while at the same time freeing himself from the clutches of his corrupt colleagues. Mitch said to his wife, "I didn't find a way out. It's more like a way through." Well, you may not have a way out of your hard times right now. Hurt and pain wound you in a serious and deep and hurtful way, but Jesus will give you a way through. That's what he was saying to his followers in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus spoke startling words, especially for people in hard times. "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed even are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Did you hear Jesus mention hard times just like yours? Jesus spoke to people who were bent over in adversity, with lives in pain, with hurts that had drained them dry. Jesus spoke to people who were burdened with sadness and grief. And for all these hard times, for these difficulties that literally take our breath away, Jesus had one phrase of encouragement. He said, "You are blessed." You, in your pain, you as you pay the price for injustice, you as you feel weak and weary, you as you wonder if there can be any hope or happiness, Jesus said that in him, because of the kingdom of God, you are blessed. Now hang on for a moment, stick with me. Jesus wasn't saying that everything's okay. He wasn't saying that the hard times are good for you. He wasn't lacking compassion or treating your difficulties lightly. The word blessed has a very special meaning. It means that God has not abandoned you. It means that God is close and doing his work in your life. The word blessed doesn't simply mean that you're showered with good things. It means that God is at work for you, no matter what is happening in your life. You are not on your own. These moments are not the whole story. You're blessed. Back in Jesus' day, people who were afflicted or suffering were often considered as ones cast aside by God. If adversity hit, the first question was, well, what did they or their family do wrong to get them in such trouble with God? Jesus was correcting this misguided thinking. The broken and the outcast were not forsaken by God. On the contrary, those are people who are brought the closest for comfort and help. And Psalm 34 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." It is during your worst times that you need to know that you are blessed. God is with you. He is at work for you. You are not forsaken. It's during your most painful times you need to be certain about the fact that you have a Savior who understands your pain. He himself endured the physical suffering of being beaten and crucified. He carried the crushing spiritual blow of being separated from God the Father when he carried your sin and mine on the cross. It's during the times when you feel like your life is lost that you need to know that your Savior, Jesus Christ, overcame death, the greatest obstacle ever, and that even death will not win in your life. In fact, Jesus can boldly say to all who trust in him, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." You have eternal hope. No matter what this life hands you, you have eternal hope through Jesus Christ. Friend, your hard time may be resolved this side of heaven, or they may not. I pray they are. I pray you experience healing and help and wholeness of heart. I do. I pray that you can praise God for his merciful help in your life. But one day we will all face death, and for that inevitable hard time and all the ones that happen leading up to that day, you have eternal hope now. You have everlasting help right now amidst real hard times. Why? Because God is still at work for you. Even in struggles, even in death, he has drawn close and given you the gift of his eternal life through his Son. You are blessed. Even now, he remains with you. Even now, he provides strength and encouragement. You are blessed. Yesterday was All Saints' Day. It's a day when our loved ones who died in faith are remembered. There are many tears on All Saints' Day. In some churches, the names of loved ones who've died during that year are read aloud. Grief is remembered and acknowledged. Sadness is brought to the surface again. But more than that, All Saints' Day recalls the home in heaven our faithful loved ones enjoy. It reminds us of our eternal hope that even as we weep, we're blessed by the helping and saving work of Jesus. In an article entitled, Where Was God on 9/11, author Philip Yancey recounted the tragic events of that horrific day in New York City. The shock, the loss, and grief gripped the nation and the world. Yet even on that day, Yancey said, God made himself known. Through strangers helping strangers, through people who drove across the country to bring help and supplies, through first responders, many who sacrificed their own lives, through acts of kindness and through churches and organizations like the Red Cross, and even the sanitation workers for Christ, God was present. A cross appeared in the rubble. Prayer services were held throughout the day. Rescue workers combed the wreckage around the clock, some working 40 or more hours in a row to provide help. This was not ordinary. This was God's presence in the middle of tragedy. This was the real definition of blessing. When times are hardest, God promises to be present. With faith in God, you are blessed in hard times. With faith in God, you can face the hard times, even begin to move through real fear and struggle. Why? Because today, tomorrow, each and every day, God, your Savior, your Lord, He's near. You are blessed amidst your mourning, even in your fear, your worry, and tears. You are blessed in the loss and in gain, in victory and in pain. You are blessed because God loves you, cares about you, and even in the middle of the trouble that rages, helps you. God is real, He is present, and the clearest testimony of that for you is seeing the real presence of God in the Word who became flesh at Christmas, went to the cross on Good Friday, and rose again on Easter morn that we might have life in Him. When hard times hit, lean on God's Word. He can speak and bring life to your hurting soul even then. Today, Jesus gives you the straight scoop on life. No matter what's facing you at the moment, in Him, because of Him, you are eternally blessed. God is real. He's active. He's with you. He is strong, and He loves you too much to ever abandon you. And that's the reality Jesus brought to the troubled crowds in Matthew chapter 5. That's the reality that John's family hung on to as they lost their daughter. They told the press that they were leaving everything in God's hands. They said, "We really trust in Him to take care of it. We don't have any other choice." In hard times, there's only one thing you can depend on: God's work for you in Jesus. Even now, my friend, you have a faithful Savior who's at work for you, and the day is coming when all trouble is over, all tears are wiped away. But even now, with faith in Him, be hopeful, prayerful, watchful, because your Savior says, "With me, you're blessed." Amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. That was the Concordia Seminary Chorus with The Beatitudes in a setting by Henry Gehrke. Today's program also features selections from The Concordia Organist, courtesy of Concordia Publishing House. How do you get back up after life knocks you down? For our free booklet titled Comebacks, call The Lutheran Hour toll-free, 1-855-JOHN-3-16. The complete Footsteps of Paul sermon series is available on a special USB flash drive that includes all five Lutheran Hour messages, plus video introductions shot on location in Rome, Athens, Ephesus, and Corinth. You'll also find PDF discussion guides and five in-depth video presentations that provide context and historical background. Altogether, more than 4 hours of content that will give you a greater understanding of how God brought the message of His grace to the centers of power, learning, and commerce. Footsteps of Paul, footprints of God's grace in our world then and now. Only $19.99 plus shipping and handling. To order, go to LutheranHour.org or call 1-855-JOHN-3-16. God is not against you. That's the title of next week's message by Pastor Gregory Seltz. Join us then. Each week, the Lutheran Hour brings the changeless Christ to a changing world. Your prayers and gifts help us share that message directly through education and media, and indirectly by supporting congregations and church bodies in their outreach efforts. Consider becoming a monthly supporter to partner with us. To learn more, go to LutheranHour.org and click on Automatic Giving. Together, we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Now, Pastor Seltz leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Please pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you always his peace. Amen.
Thank you.
And now Pastor Gregory Seltz responds to questions. I'm Mark Eicher. Pastor, in your message this week, you talked about All Saints Day.
That's right.
What is a saint?
Mark, there are lots of ideas out there about what a saint is, but the best, most reliable place to find the answers in the Bible. For example, Psalm 30 says, "Sing praises to the Lord, O you saints, and give thanks to his holy name." The English word saints there reflects a Hebrew word for godly ones. These are people who've been blessed with a steadfast love of God and who now trust in and follow their Savior. The Old Testament also uses another word that we translate as saints. Psalm 34 says, "O fear the Lord, you his saints." And the Hebrew word there means holy ones.
Does that mean these are people who never sinned?
No, it's actually a reference to sinners who were saved by God's forgiveness. So they've been made holy by God's grace and his salvation.
Now, the word holy could also mean set apart by God. Are you saying these saints, these holy ones are somehow set apart by God as his own because they're saved by him?
Yeah, that's right. You know, in the Bible, a saint is not someone who is born with remarkable godlike characteristics. It's an ordinary person set apart by God for his extraordinary grace and work.
Would the same thing apply in the New Testament?
Yes, this use is consistent in the New Testament as well. As the early church began, we hear this word applied to people saved by God's grace through Jesus Christ. We hear Ananias say about the conversion of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. He says, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, Paul, how much evil he's done to your saints at Jerusalem."
So even that early in the history of the church, the followers of Jesus were referred to as saints.
Yeah, and once again, the Greek word means holy ones, those not holy in and of themselves, but holy ones who've been made holy, forgiven by Jesus' death and resurrection for them. So this word is used dozens of times in the New Testament referring to God's redeemed people, his church.
Okay, but I think there's also a narrower or maybe a different meaning of that word. Mm-hmm. For example, we talk about St. Peter, St. Paul. You've got cities named St. Louis, St. Joseph. We've got hospitals named after St. Anthony. Right. What does that mean?
Well, the early church began to recognize people who were used by God in exceptional ways to proclaim his name and do his work. The disciples, for example, are given special recognition as saints. Paul's an apostle who helped the Christian church grow and develop. He's called Saint Paul. Even today, Lutheran churches recognize these special servants of God and celebrate their blessings to the church. They weren't born holier than any of us, but they are great blessings to God's people, and they were used by God in some extraordinary ways.
Now, what about those saints who are not mentioned in the Bible?
Well, I think that goes to your point about St. Louis, Mark. It brings to us what we hear in the media about saints these days. The Roman Catholic Church has a process called canonization, in which a person is certified as a special servant of God. And so in their view, St. Louis, he was Louis the Ninth King of France back in the 1200s. He was a devout and Christian, upright Christian ruler, and he was given the title of saint about 30 years after his death. These days, that canonizing process is a bit more involved as the church works to document not only extraordinary Christian service, but heroic and miraculous elements in that person's life.
Okay, and just last year, two former popes were announced as saints in that sense.
Yeah, that's what they did. But now even the word saint has taken on a narrower meaning these days, so one that seems unreachable by most of us. So for me, it's important that we remember the main idea of the Bible above all else, that every listener who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior is a saint. We're God's saints, ultimately not by what we do, but what God does on our behalf. Even the communion of saints confessed in the Apostles' Creed, these are all believers living and departed in Christ.
Okay, so being part of that communion of saints, Our work then is to bring that message, that encouraging message of God's love to everyone else in the world.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Pastor Seltz. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.